Well, good morning, everybody. We are so excited about Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is one of our favorite things we do each year. And, you know, as I was getting ready for this year, for some reason, I've been paying attention a little bit more than I usually do at this time of year to baseball. But usually I don't pay attention to baseball until later in the season, kind of see who's good and see if I really want to pay attention down the stretch. But this year, it just keeps popping up in my feed. I keep seeing baseball. And there's something that it reminded me of from many, many years ago. A friend of mine gave me a gift of encouragement that insulted me. So let me explain to you what I mean by that. There was a friend of mine who, he and I were both big Boston Red Sox fans, and you have to remember that I heard a whoop, but this was in the time period that the Red Sox were breaking the curse, that they were really good. We were watching all the games together, and one day he gave me this card, and I can't remember what the occasion was, but he said, "I just wanted to encourage you," and it was a card, and within it there was a baseball card of Derek Jeter, right? Okay, I heard one person who knows where I'm going with this. So Derek Jeter was the captain of the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees, biggest rival of the Boston Red Sox. There was no player, well, I don't dislike players, you know, just they may not be my favorite. So there was no player I would have put more on the not my favorite list than Derek Jeter at that time, because he was the captain of the New York Yankees, the rival team for the team that I rooted for. But he had within that something that he wanted to encourage me with, and it was an idea that we see in baseball scouting known as the five-tool player. Anybody know what the five-tool player is? So a five-tool player is someone who excels at the five most prized skills in baseball for a position player. They hit for average, they hit for power, they can field, they can throw, and they can run. If you can do those five things, you're considered a five-tool player, and Derek Jeter was considered to be, of his era, one of the best five-tool players. And so he said that, "I just want to encourage you because there are these five different ways that I see strengths in you." And I was like, "Oh, that's so sweet. Why did it have to be a Derek Jeter baseball card? Couldn't we have just gone about this some other way?" But that was what he chose to use to encourage me, and I always think about that when I think about Derek Jeter, or I think about that phrase, five-tool player. Now, the reason I bring this up on Palm Sunday is because there was an expectation of what the Messiah was going to look like. There was an expectation that the Messiah would be kind of this five-tool kingly figure. He would be strong from the perspective of being a national leader, a political leader. He would be strong from the perspective of being a military leader. He would be strong from being an economic leader. He would provide for the people. He would be a religious authority. And they expected that he would have some sort of physical stature to him that would make him stand out. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and other than maybe the religious authority part, that he didn't always get along with the religious authority, so even that was a little questionable, every other aspect, he did not meet the expectations. Now, when we come together on Palm Sunday, I know why you guys are here. You're here because of the egg hunt and because of the donkey. Those are the two things that people come to Palm Sunday for, the egg hunt and the donkey. The donkey is a highlight of our celebration each year on Palm Sunday, but the donkey would have just been straight weird on the first Palm Sunday. Here you have the Messiah, the promised one, the king that they were expecting, and here he comes into Jerusalem looking not like the king that they expected. He is there, and he is riding on a lowly donkey. It would have been very, very confusing to a lot of people who had waited many years to see what the Messiah would be like and what the Messiah would be and who he would be. And here in this moment, they see a king that they do not expect. Now, the question I wrestle with when I think about this and I hear that story that Shelby just read a moment ago and Brad articulated in our children's moment, when I think about it, I have to ask myself, what do I expect out of Jesus? Am I coming to Jesus expecting a savior of the world? Am I expecting someone to forgive me? Am I expecting someone who's going to work on the dark spots of my life and work on me and change me and mold me into a different person than maybe the person I naturally am? Or am I looking for somebody who's going to help me get my way? A lot of times we look to the Messiah, we pray even in our prayers that we would receive from God all these blessings and all these things that he could give to us, and we make it so much about ourselves. But what we see in Jesus is someone who's not there just to say, hey, I'm here to provide everything you're asking for. I'm not here with the expectations of all that you wanted in a king. Instead, he comes with what we need. And as he comes with what we need, he comes not as that mighty king on a horse with the chariots and the loud trumpets and everything. Instead, he comes humbly. Now, there's a little bit of a foreshadowing within this, because what Jesus is doing is he is setting the stage for what's going to unfold throughout the week. He is setting the stage not to have these big major displays, but to point to the fact that he is heading humbly to the cross. Philippians chapter 2 explains it so beautifully, saying that even though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to be obtained, and so he lowered himself, he made himself into be a servant, even humbling himself to the point of death. And as we walk through Holy Week, we have to pause and take a moment and recognize that this isn't just a celebration of a mighty king. Instead, this is a celebration and a recognition that there is a Messiah who has come to humble himself, to give his life on the cross for our sake. And as we move through the week, hopefully you have a chance to come and be a part of our service on Thursday. It's going to be just a wonderful time to reflect on the movements of Holy Week and the work of God through that incredible presence of Jesus on earth and everything that happened during that first Holy Week. But it's going to point us towards the cross. And it's going to point us towards the fact that Jesus came not to meet all of the expectations that people had of the king, not to be that five-tool Messiah that met all of the criteria that they were looking for, but instead to be exactly what they needed. Our prayer for those of you who are here today, those of you who are a part of our church, those of you who might be visiting, is that when we worship together, when we lift up the name of the only King forever, when we shout our praises of Hosanna, our prayer is that you would encounter the love of a God who loved us so much to humble himself, to shatter the expectations maybe of what we were looking for, and instead to give us exactly what we need. As we come to the table to celebrate communion this morning, we're going to kind of have a little bit of a feast before the big feast of the fellowship and the time together after the service. But we come with our hearts expectant to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. When we celebrate communion, I'm going to offer a prayer of blessing in just a moment, and then we'll have our servers come up, and I'll serve them before we take time to show you how to kind of come and receive communion this morning. But I just want to say this real clearly. This is open to everybody. Just like we're inviting everybody to eat lunch today, just like anyone's welcome to hunt eggs unless you happen to be over the age of like 12, and then we kind of frown upon it. But communion is something that is a sacrament that is open in our church, and that means that anyone is welcome to come and receive. All that is required is that you come expecting, that you come receiving the grace that Jesus has for you and receiving the love of a Savior who gave his life on the cross for you. And so I want to invite you to join me just in a word of prayer as we prepare to receive from the table this morning. Lord, we thank you so much just for the amazing opportunity to come and celebrate on this beautiful day and to experience just the joy of shouting Hosanna. We thank you that when we shout Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that we are shouting a proclamation that was made 2,000 years ago, meaning save us. Save us, Lord. It means that we are in need of you. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for where our expectations have been selfish, where our desires have not been aligned with your hopes for us, and we have not been focused on the truth of your word and why you sent your son to earth in the first place. I pray that as we come to the table, a reminder of your covenant that you've made with your people of old, that you would renew that covenant with us as you have given your son, Jesus Christ, to offer his life for us. We give thanks that before he departed from this world, he took bread and he took a cup, breaking the bread and sharing the cup, and saying, this is my body and blood of broken and shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning, as we gather, we do this in remembrance of you, and we do this as a reminder of the grace that is found in your son, Jesus, the one who was the Messiah that we needed, the one who meets the needs of all that we have for our salvation and for the hope of the world. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be present in this moment. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And may we join together with your Holy Spirit, with your Holy Church, to bring you honor and glory in all that we do. For we pray this in the mighty, saving name of Jesus Christ, our Hosanna in the highest. Amen.